there is a curriculum that every human being completes in the first 3 to 4 years of their life. Doesn't have any textbooks. There's no teachers who are formally teaching. It happens in the space between a child and the people they depend on for survival. In the quality of touch, in the consistency of response, the feeling of being seen or not seen, in whether comfort came and how quickly, whether distress was met with compassion or people were left alone to resolve it on their own. By the time a child is 3 years old, this curriculum is mostly complete. The nervous system has drawn its conclusions about the world, about whether it is safe, whether people can be trusted, whether need is acceptable, whether they are fundamentally welcome in the world. And then for most of us, we spend the rest of our lives living inside those conclusions, inside those patterns, without ever knowing they were conclusions rather than facts. The most powerful curriculum you'll ever completed was finished before you had the language to question it. And what you've learned is still running now. Today on the Ask Dr. Gill podcast, we're going to talk about how the nervous system learns this and what you can do about it. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And to understand what's going on in your nervous system, we need to understand what happened in those early years and also how the nervous system actually learns. Because this information isn't accessible to you through a cognitive process, because all of it was happening before you really learned language. The adult brain learns primarily through language, through logic, through conscious reflection. We hear something and evaluate it. We decide whether it fits our existing model and update accordingly, hopefully. This is slow and deliberate and generally under conscious control, although some of us can't do that very well. The infant and early childhood nervous system learns through a completely different mechanism. It learns through repetition, through felt experience, through the body's direct registration of what happens in relationship with other. Every time a need was expressed and met, the nervous system registered, need is safe. People respond, I am not alone. And every time a need was expressed and not met, or met with irritation, withdrawal, overwhelm, the nervous system registered need is dangerous, and expression leads to disconnection. Every time the environment was predictable and warm, the nervous system registered the world is basically safe. And every time the environment was unpredictable, frightening, or cold, the nervous system registered stay alert because danger can come from anywhere. These registrations are not just memories. They are actual settings in our bodies. They become the baseline from where you operate the rest of your life. You're not overreacting. You're not too sensitive. You are responding perfectly to a world that no longer exists, according to settings that were calibrated decades ago. In the research on early attachment and nervous system development, three fundamental questions emerge. Questions that a nervous system answers in those first years and carries forward operating under that assumption, typically for the rest of your life. The first question is, am I safe? Not safe in the abstract, but safe in the body. In the nervous system's continuous read of the environment, is the world a place where I can relax, or do I need to have constant vigilance? A nervous system that answered not safe to this question is spending adult life basically scanning, not because there's necessarily danger in the moment, but because the setting was never updated. This can lead to difficulty resting, sleep disturbance, a hum of anxiety in the background without knowing where it comes from, chronic tension. The body is still watching for a threat it learned to expect. Question two, am I seen? Was there someone in the early environment who could perceive you accurately? Who responded not to who they wanted you to be or needed you to be, but to who you actually were? A nervous system that answered not seen spends life either performing visibly, achieving, excelling, presenting, or hiding, convinced that the real self is unacceptable or potentially even dangerous. Often some people will have both of these patterns happening. They'll perform and then they'll hide. The third question is, am I welcome? Now, this is in a way one of the most profound questions that we don't consciously ask ourselves. It's not just safe and it's not just seen. It's, am I welcome in this environment? Is my existence, not my performance, not my compliance, not my helpfulness, but my very being and presence received? A nervous system that answers not welcome to this question might spend the adult life earning its right to take up space, apologizing, over-explaining, making themselves useful, making themselves small, never quite believing they deserve to be. Most of the chronic patterns we carry in our health, our relationships, and our self-concept are downstream of how the nervous systems responded and answered to these questions even before we learned to speak. This is where an interesting piece about your biography becoming biology begins. This is where the science becomes very sobering, but at the same time, potentially hopeful. The early conclusions drawn by the nervous system don't stay in the mind. They become the body. In other words, you're not thinking about this. You're experiencing this. There's something going on that's deeper. When the nervous system decides the world is unsafe, it doesn't just create anxiety or anxious thoughts. It creates higher sympathetic tone, elevated cortisol, tightening of the diaphragm. Immune function can become altered. Gut motility is different. Changes in inflammatory signaling. All of this happens as a result of something that's running in the background. When the nervous system decides need is dangerous, that's not just a belief. It suppresses the signal that generates need in the first place. Hunger cues become less reliable. Fatigue doesn't register until it is very extreme. Emotional distress often won't be felt until there's a physical symptom that shows up after that distress. The body has been recruited into the strategy. The physiology is now organized around the early conclusions. And this is why addressing the physiology alone, without addressing the underlying nervous system learning, often produces improvement, but that improvement may plateau as a result of the underlying issue not being addressed. You can treat the symptom, but if the body is maintaining the symptom as part of a strategy it learned at age 2, the symptom will find a way to return or move somewhere else because the strategy is still running. Biography becomes biology, not because the body is fragile, but because it is loyal to the beliefs. It organizes around what it has learned, and what it learns, it maintains. We're going to take a quick break, and in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about what you can do to change this. So stay tuned. Hello, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at info@askdrgill.com, askdrgill.com. I would be happy to answer the questions if you send them. And also, if you have a burning question that you want answered on the show, send me those because I'm collecting those. And as I get them, I'm going to put together a podcast that is just answering the questions. So, all right. So we're talking about how our nervous system learns, is the world safe? Am I allowed? Am I allowed to be me? Am I welcome? And this leads to chronic disease often because the answer is no. And the question is, how do you change this? And can you change this? And ultimately, there's definitely scientific research to support, yes, this can be changed. And this is what I am starting to do with patients as well. Now, how you change it matters immensely because it's not what most people expect. Early nervous system changing doesn't change through trying to understand it. You can know what the pattern is. You can even know what the belief systems are that are there, that are running. And you can know the cost of it to you. And it still might not change as a result of that. Because it's not created through understanding. It's created through experience. And it can only be updated through experience. What changes it is not intensity. Rather, it's repetition in the right conditions. Specifically, new relational experience. Experiences of safety that are repeated enough times to update the threat map. Experience of being seen that accumulate into a new answer to the second question. Experiences of welcome in a therapeutic relationship, in a healing community, in a new quality of presence with oneself, or even in a romantic relationship that gradually revives the deepest settings. This is what attachment theory has pointed to, and I've talked about this on the show many times. It's not that someone who's anxious or avoidant can't become secure in terms of their attachment, but they need help, as we all do. Like the secure person they weren't born that way necessarily. They were given an opportunity to have that capability built into them. Now, they may have had more of that in their system where they can manage the insults of poor parenting, we'll say, for lack of a better way of saying it, better than someone who came out more in line with being anxious or avoidant. But you still need to learn this. And the difference is some people learned it when they were 2 and 3, and some people need to learn it when they're adults. This is why somatic work matters. And it is why community can matter too. A container can help with this. And this is why relationship with the practitioner is really part of the medicine. The nervous system is not changed by what it learns about. It's changed by what it lives through. This is the core of my new program, Rewrite the Signal. And this is where the work is headed towards. It's why environment matters. Not information alone is going to help you heal. The environment matters. The quality of repeated experience available inside a container determines whether the nervous system updates or simply endures. Rewrite the Signal is designed to be that kind of environment. It's not a curriculum to be understood once. It's a 11-week lived experience held across physiologic, somatic, psychological, and archetypal layers simultaneously. So the nervous system doesn't just hear a new story about who it could be. It begins to live the story. This is forming now. I'm taking applications for this. If you've been listening to this series, and recognizing yourself in the patterns, in the questions, in the three things the nervous system decided before you could talk, you will know whether this is relevant. This is open. There's a link in the show notes. And there's also a course, if you want to get a taste of this that I'm doing that's not live but recorded, called The Signal Revealed. It isn't up yet. I'll put that in the show notes as well, but I am finishing up that course soon, and it should be up soon. I want to end with something I ask almost every person I work with at some point in our time together. I want you to think back to yourself as a very young child, before school, before you knew much about the world. You're just a small person, entirely dependent, learning everything from the environment around you. And ask yourself gently, did that child feel safe in his or her body? Did that child feel seen for who they actually are, not who they needed to be? Did that child feel welcome, not conditionally, not because of how they behave, but simply their existence? Did they feel welcome? Whatever your answers are, that is not your destiny. It is a starting point. And the nervous system that drew those early conclusions is the same nervous system that is capable of updating them. It learned once. We're very dynamic. It can learn again. The question is whether it can be given the experience to do so. You are not broken by what happened to you before you could speak. You were shaped, and what has been shaped can be reshaped, not by understanding the past, but by living through something in the present. And until next week, sit with those three questions and notice which one lands most heavily. Then ask the question that closes this last series of the last four podcasts. Notice what you already understand what needs to change and whether the environment you are currently in supports that happening. And if you're curious about where you might be right now in your healing path, I want to bring up the healing archetype quiz, and you can take it. It basically gives you a starting point of what's going on in your system so that you can begin to know where the best place to start treatment is. So, all right, thanks so much for joining me, and I will look forward to seeing you next time.